today as we come to the table.
Our hearts are so tied to our wallets, and God wants us to grow and to mature, but we have to go beyond the wallet and go to our life, our time, our thoughts, our meditation. Are we having time in the Word and prayer, spending that time in the Word and prayer, setting aside that tithe, if you will, to spend time with the Lord that day? Not a legalistic relationship. Please don't get in that mindset. But understand, it's a lifestyle. It's a principle of Scripture where God wants all of us. He's not just saying, I want you to be financially faithful. He's saying, I want you to be emotionally faithful. I want you to be faithful with your time. I want you to be faithful in your commitment, relationally faithful.
Did you know that you can tithe more than just finances to the Lord? You will learn in today's message from Pastor Mark all of the various ways in which you can give to the Lord. God doesn't desire a legalistic mindset around tithing. If anything, He desires for you to model after His heart by demonstrating generosity. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Tithing is shown to the Lord in many ways. Yes, one of them can be with your finances. However, God also desires for you to tithe your time and service unto Him. How can you give that to Him on a weekly basis? Also, tithing can come through dedication to other believers and relationships with them. There are so many ways to give. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 14, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Now, again, Jesus said, you asked the question again, is there any other scriptural backing besides some of the things that you've presented, Mark, that show that maybe indeed this was the Lord? I don't want to push it too hard, but I do find it interesting. In John chapter 8, verses 56 and 58, and I'll just read it to you. The Lord talking about Abraham, notice He said something very interesting. He said, speaking to the Jews, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. When did Abraham see the Lord? Then the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? And Jesus said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, in other words, he may have seen him simply because now he died and he's seen the Lord. But the bottom line is that it would appear very possibly that the Lord is actually talking about this moment where he met Abram face to face. So again, we don't know, but either way, we do see the type of Jesus Christ in this order of Melchizedek, and it shows the order that we are now under as far as believers in Christ of the priesthood that we're to follow, and that is the priesthood of Jesus Christ and not of Aaron. Now, again, it's also interesting when you follow this out to see all the types that are given here. Notice the next thing this Melchizedek does that really adds interest to this. It says there in verse 18, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Does that sound familiar? Even as the Lord brought out bread and wine and gave it to his disciples. Why? For a deeper level of communion. And of course, it represented his body that would be broken and his blood that would be spilled. And now this Melchizedek giving a foreshadowing of the body and the blood that would be given. But it goes even beyond that, because not only is he bringing out bread and wine, being the king of Jerusalem, we see it tells us here, they're in the Valley of Sheva, or the King's Valley, which by the way, is in Jerusalem. It's what we call today the Kidron Valley. And the Kidron Valley is between Mount of Olives and also the Temple Mount. And it runs down the Kidron Valley and around the corner to the Ben-Hinnom Valley, or the Gen-Hinnom Valley. And so again, we see that this is the area that the kings are gathered, that Lot is gathered and Abram is gathered, and that the king of Sodom and all of them are gathered after this battle. And then we see this king coming out, giving them bread and wine. Incidentally, right down the hill, very literally from the place where Jesus celebrated the Last Supper with the disciples. And so the type is taken almost to the extreme. The only thing they could have done to make this more dramatic was to have them in the upper room, which didn't even exist yet, I'm sure, at this time. But we can see how God is really painting the picture and even having it right here in the very same place where the Lord gave his bread and his wine to his followers. And so Again, we see this theophany very possibly, or this Christophany here, as the Lord and or a very strong type of Jesus Christ appears to Abram as he's about to challenge him to a new step of faith. And again, we'll get to the fullness of that new step of faith in a couple of weeks. We're going to touch on the first part of it today as he gets to the end of verse 20, looking at the tithe. But we're going to see that it goes way beyond that in trusting in God to be his provider rather than trusting in man or the world to be his provider. And notice what happens here in verse 19 when Melchizedek now gives him the bread and the wine and now pronounces this blessing. It says, and he blessed him, that is Melchizedek blessed Abram and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram gave him a tithe of all. Now again, what is this blessing? First of all, notice he's blessed of God, he says. He's possessor of heaven and earth. How is that? When the Lord comes back, he will rule and reign with the Lord in the millennial kingdom. And that's what the Bible says will happen with all who believe in the Lord. But he will also inherit eternity. So he's possessor of heaven and earth. He will rule here. He'll possess the earth as well as he will rule there. We were talking in between services. Someone came up and we're talking about, you know, God sometimes making us wait on things that we feel that he's put in our heart or that we want to see happen. There's going to come a day where all of it's ours. Whatever you're waiting on this morning, realize it's temporary. Jesus said to his disciples and his followers, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And understand, God has given you the kingdom. You haven't yet inherited the kingdom because the Lord hasn't come back yet, but you will. And he tells in this blessing, this is what your future is, Abram. And then lastly, he says, God has delivered your enemies into your hand. Now, why do I point out the blessings? Because these are the same blessings we have as followers in the Lord. The exact same blessings. We are blessed of God. We are possessors of heaven and earth. We will rule and reign in the millennial kingdom. We will be eternally saved in heaven, and we will be delivered from our enemies by the hand of the Lord. And so again, we can enjoy the same blessings here that he gives. But the last thing I want to focus in on and really not go beyond this, and that is the very last part of verse 20. Notice it says, and Abram, and he, that is Abram, gave him, that is Melchizedek, a tithe of all. Now, again, remember we talked about the law of first mention in Scripture. And the reason I want to slow down here a minute is because this is the first time in the Bible that tithing is mentioned. And anytime we come to a first thing that's mentioned, we're going to slow down as we work through Genesis. Because Genesis is not only the book of beginnings, as we said last week, it's the book of first mention. And what's interesting about that is whenever you see an example of first mention set in Genesis, it always is a precedent for us or an example for how we're to deal with this particular subject throughout the rest of Scripture. And so I wanted to, again, look at the issue here of tithing. Now, again, what are some basics? Some say that tithing is from the law. And hence, because we are New Testament Christians, we're not required, or we're no longer, I guess you would say, under the principle of tithing. But that is not scripturally accurate. As a matter of fact, we are still under the principle of tithing, and why? Note this, when God establishes the tithe there, it's long before the law. The law doesn't come along now for another 500 years. Once Moses is given the law on Mount Sinai and the law is given, at that point, yes, tithing is a part of that law, and God goes into great detail about the tithes that the children of Israel were to do in their tithing. But tithing here is something that is totally separate from the law, even as we talked about the death penalty. Remember a while back in the law first mentioned and seeing God's government structure, it was mentioned completely separate from the law. That's why we know that death penalty is still a principle to follow on earth today, as well as we know that tithing is still a principle to follow on the earth today. And so, again, it's in the law, but it wasn't done away with or fulfilled by the fulfillment of the law in Jesus Christ. Now, what is a tithe? Well, again, I know that most of you know that, and I know what I used to think. Tithing to me just meant giving, anything. You know, you just kind of, you know, whatever you put in the plate, that's tithing. But that's not biblical tithing. Biblical tithing, literally the word tithe, and the word used here literally means a tenth part. It's where we come up, people say, where do we come up with 10% for tithing? Where did that come from? It's because God established it, again, right here in the Scriptures in Genesis chapter 14, and it's the tenth part, and it literally, the Bible tells us that we are to give 10% of our income. That is what the tithe is, and that is where the 10% comes from. In another place, it speaks of the tithe as being 10% of our increase. So whatever our increase is, you know, that was important to the Jew because a lot of times it wasn't financial necessarily that they had. When they brought their crops in, they didn't have cash. Their crops were brought in. What did God ask them to do? Remember, they would take the first fruits of their crop and they would take it to the temple. And they would give a 10% of their crops to the Lord there in the temple as their tithe. They would bring it into the Lord. So we see the principle is not necessarily monetarily. It's simply the principle of whatever your increase is. You know, if you get 10 candy bars in your stocking, you bring one to Calvary Chapel. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. Just a joke. Now, don't bring me a candy bar. I'm kidding. I'm not wanting a candy bar. That was just to have fun. Sometimes I say that, and somebody will show up with a candy bar in the pool. I'm not asking for anything from you guys. Keep your candy bar. As a matter of fact, I'd feel bad now if somebody did it. But the point is that it's not always monetarily. It's not something to do with money. It's whatever your first. Listen, tithing has to do with even your time. Let me ask you this. Are you tithing to the Lord in your time? Are you giving God 10% of your time to serve him? It's not that much. That leaves you 90 on your own. But are you involved in a ministry? Are you involved in serving somewhere? Is there some tithing that you're doing? See, we have to understand, we have to broaden our viewpoint of the tithe. In our culture and our mindset, we got the tithe down to the monetary. Yes, that's a part of it. And that's a big part of it because God tests us because our hearts are so tied to our wallets. And God wants us to grow and to mature. But we have to go beyond the wallet and go to our life, our time, our thoughts, our meditation. Are we having time in the word and prayer, spending that time in the word and prayer, setting aside that tithe, if you will, to spend time with the Lord that day? Not a legalistic relationship. Please don't get in that mindset. But understand, it's a lifestyle. It's a principle of Scripture where God wants all of us. He's not just saying, I want you to be financially faithful. He's saying, I want you to be emotionally faithful. I want you to be faithful with your time. I want you to be faithful in your commitment, relationally faithful. So there's all types of ways that the tithe is carried out. And let me say this, the tithe, especially monetarily, is most definitely a step of faith. Why do I say that? Because the tithe, being a step of faith, it goes against mental logic. Now, I don't know when God begin to challenge. God will challenge all of us in here. If you've not been challenged by the Lord, you will be. God challenges all of us in every step of faith we take. Abram is now being challenged in the step of faith in tithing. That is giving to the Lord what God is really God's anyway. And yet when we come to that place, there seems to be this thing in us. And I remember, you know, early on as God began to minister to my heart and challenge me to this particular step of faith and really saying, all right, God, I'm going to trust you in my finances and I'm going to do this. There's a mental battle that goes on. And I know you've been there because you got to be just like me. And that is, this doesn't make sense. Okay, I have X amount of dollars. I need X amount of dollars to pay that. And I'm almost too short to do that. If I give X amount of dollars away, I have less X amount of dollars and now I can't pay that. Isn't that how our logical mind works? This is why it's a step of faith, guys, when it comes to tithing in this area, because it goes beyond the level of reason. It forces us into a new realm to say, all right, Lord, you asked me to do it. You said it was a step of obedience and a step of faith. I'm going to take the step of faith, but it's a little bit scary. And I can remember when I first started doing it, it was a little bit scary. You know, you think, well, God will get us to a place where we're very successful. And then once we're very successful, then God will bring us to that place, that step of faith to say, all right, you're successful. Now you can begin to give. You've got a name for yourself, you're established, you got a home, you got cars, things are going good. Now you can begin to give to the work of God. God didn't do it that way, does he? At least he didn't for me. You know what he did? He came to me when I was broke. I was living in an apartment with no furniture. I was a brand new baby kitchen. Just a little kitchen with a few burners. I was a brand new baby Christian with only a few cans of food for those burners. And I was living literally from check to check, from, you know, basically from cash to cash because I was working in the restaurant industry at that time. And it's like whatever I got the next day is what I lived. I was living that way just because that's where I was. Now, again, I wasn't real wise with my finances before I came to the Lord. And so I myself was in that situation. But the bottom line is that's when God began to say, all right, Mark, it's time. You took the step of faith to follow me. You took the step of faith to trust me. Are you going to trust me in your finances? Well, Lord, I mean, I know you'll take care of me, but I only have this much money and the bills are this much, Lord. Mark, that's why it's a step of faith, do you see? It's not a step of faith if everything's there and easy to do. If the tithe is something that's simple because now you're successful, where's the faith? Well, granted, it's obedience, but where's the faith? And God began to say, I want you to trust me, Mark. I want you to step out and do it. And I went beyond mental logic and said, all right, I don't think I have enough to survive, but you've asked me to do it. You said it's a part of one of your principles if I'm going to be your follower, and you've asked me to take this step of faith so that I can move on to the next step of maturity. Because note this, guys, if we don't get past each step, we're stuck. We will not mature beyond the step that God leads us to. That is just true in Scripture. We have to take the next step or we are stuck in that place, even as Abram was stuck in Ur of the Chaldees until he finally left. I took the step of faith, and I saw God do amazing things in my life. Listen, this is why God reveals himself greater to Abram today. God is going to reveal himself to you in ways you've never known him. If you've never taken that step of faith in tithing, you're missing out on the faithfulness of God as your provider. It's an amazing adventure. I remember, and I've seen God be faithful. I got to share just a couple things with you because, again, I think it's appropriate to this. I remember one time taking that step of faith and having no money to pay my bills. And I said, I don't care. There's no money to pay the bills. You've told me to do it. I'm going to take a step of faith. It goes against everything logically. If I sink, I sink. There it goes, Lord. And I remember going, how in the world is God going to do this? I had no other money coming in, no other paycheck. I had emptied my bank account out. How do I know that? Because I went to my bank and got everything in there. I emptied it out. But after I took that step of faith, I began to feel impressed in my heart. Mark, I want you to call your bank and check your account. I called my bank and asked what's in my account. There was $200 in my account, enough to pay the bills that I owed. I had not put that $200 in there. I didn't even have it in my mind where it could come from. I had emptied out my account. I'm not saying God's going to go, whoa, hey, this guy's going to put money in our account. I'm not saying that. That's how God did it for me in one instance. I remember another time I had just enough money to go and I had tithed and then I had just enough left to buy some groceries and I bought those groceries and I've shared this with you guys before. I'll be quick on it, but I gave the groceries to the lady. I reached in my pocket for the last 20 that I had to pay for those groceries and it was gone. The 20 was gone. And I remember thinking, all right, Lord. And it was the strange thing. I thought, what am I going to do? I've got the groceries here. God, you promised you'd provide. That's the last money I have. I've been faithful to do what you've asked me to do. Now what? And I remember I told her, I said, look, just keep the groceries here for a minute. I walked out on the front. They're in Nashville, Tennessee, on the front sidewalk of Kroger's. It was probably, it's like 11 o'clock at night. I think I'd gotten off late and I was going, it's a late night shopping. You know, you pick up those last things or whatever. And I was standing up there in the front of Kroger, and I remember standing there going, God, how's this going to work now? What do I do? Should I just go on home and wait for some other way you'll provide, or what do I do? And I begin to notice this car that pulled in at the other end of the parking lot. And you know, when it's late at night, there's only one or two cars in those parking lots, so it's easy to see anybody that's coming. This car pulls in the parking lot, comes driving around up to the front of the Kroger's where I am standing, gets out of the car. The guy leans over the top of the car with the 20 and says, did you drop this? And I said, yes, I did. Apparently. And I took the 20 without hesitation, and I said, thank you for bringing it back or whatever. And I went in and I paid for my groceries. Now, listen, my point is this. I would never have seen God reveal himself to me in supernatural ways beyond any imagination had I not taken that step of faith. And here's my point this morning. If you are at that place where God is challenging you to trust him in your finances, step into the joy of the Lord. Begin to see him in ways you've never seen him before. Begin to grow and mature. Don't be stuck anymore in the fear of, oh no, it won't work. What will I do? Say, God, you've promised. I'm taking you at your word. And I'm not going to tell you that the first time you do it, it's easy, because it's not. But I've seen God be so faithful. I remember when Tracy and I came here again, we didn't exactly have, you know, the greatest finances at the time, and yet we knew God had called us to do it. And I can't tell you, every time we needed a bill, Tracy can give you the testimony as well. Every time we needed it paid, wondering where in the world is it going to come from, we'd go to the mailbox and there'd be a check in there. There'd be money from people we didn't ask for money. We didn't know they were going to be sending any money. We were here. We didn't know anybody in Knoxville. This would be people from other places. But God knows and God times it and God plans and then God takes care of it. What is my point? Listen, whatever step of faith you're at this morning, it may not be tithing. You may be way beyond that. You may be just getting to it. The point is, whatever the step of faith God is calling you to this morning, trust him. If you want to know him in a breaking bread and drinking wine way, if you want to have deeper communion with the Lord, allow him to reveal himself to you in other ways. You know, it's interesting. The Bible gives all these names of God. One of the names of God is our provider. But unless we ever trust God as our provider, we're never going to know him as our provider. We may know him as our savior. We may know him even as our healer. But the only way we can know God as our provider is to say, all right, God, I'm going to do what your word says, and I'm going to trust in you to provide. Now, that's what a tithe is all about. Again, what is the difference then between a tithe and an offering? And I want to cover the subject fully here as we, again, come to the law of first mention here. I want to make sure that we kind of all understand that as we move on. We won't be always as detailed when it comes to these issues, but I want us to understand clearly the difference. What is another thing when it comes to giving, and that is the offering, an offering. And again, offerings to the temple were either, they could have been financial, they could have been their wheat harvest, they could have been their animals, whatever it was, they gave offerings to the Lord, an offering. Now, we need to understand the difference. A tithe, the Bible says, is what we're to give to the temple. That is, we would say, modern day application, it goes to your local fellowship. Wherever you call home, that's where your tithe goes. And the offering is over and above the tithe. It is something that if you say, now I want to get involved in missions, I want to give to a missions organization, I want to give to, whatever it might be, that's what an offering is. And so understand the difference between tithes and offerings. I remember as a kid, when they would talk about tithes and offerings, I thought, first of all, why do they want my tithe? And secondly, what is the difference in the two things? Why are they mentioning two things? Because again, the tithe is that standard where we give it into the place. It is so that the temple could function properly for the needs of the temple, but then the offering was over and above so that other ministries outside of the temple could function, so to speak. Now, again, they would give the offerings to the temple as well, but it was to meet the needs of that. Why do I say this? Because, again, it is very important for us as believers to distinguish between the two. And that is, we want to make sure, and I want to give a warning to us because I've heard of believers doing this, don't ever take your tithe and give it as an offering. If you don't have the money to give an offering, that's okay. Don't give an offering. But what God asks us to do, according to the principle of tithing, is to take the tithe and bring it into the storehouse. We bring it into what God has asked us to bring it into. And then beyond that, if we have something over and above that we want to give, that is what's called an offering. And so, again, we need to understand the differences here as we look at the two and the purposes and the purpose of the tithe for the general function and operation of the ministry. The purpose of offering is for the extra things outside of the ministry. And so we allow God to, again, challenge us in a new step of faith. And that's where I want to leave us today, is where are you? Again, we're not going to take a special offering, and that wasn't really to leave you necessarily with tithing. The point is, where are you in whatever step God's taken you to? Are you here today and you've never taken the step of faith to trust the Lord? You've never done that. God is saying, I died for you on the cross. I've given my blood for you. I've given my body for you. You're a sinner. You've been born in sin. You need to confess your sin, ask forgiveness of your sin, and receive me as your Lord. If you don't, you can't go on to the next step. You can't go to heaven. And so God may be challenging some of you this morning to make a first-time commitment to Jesus Christ. That is the first and basic step of faith. Some of you may be stuck at the second one. I just don't really trust. I want to trust God, but I don't really trust that He'll lead me in the way that I want to go. You're stuck. You're not going to grow beyond that until you take the step of faith and say, all right, Lord, I trust you. I'm going to do it. Wherever you lead me, I'll go. Don't be afraid. Sometimes we think, well, God's going to send me to Africa and I've got to fight bugs and beetles. You know what I mean? God's not going to do that. God's going to give you, He may send you there, but if He does, He'll give you the desire of your heart. In other words, you'll want to do it, okay? But understand, you may be stuck there. Go beyond that today. Learn that not only is He a God of salvation, He's a God that can be trusted. Some of you may be at the next step saying, man, tithing, I've never tithed. What do you mean tithing? What do you mean 10%? Come on, I throw my buck in. What's this 10% stuff? Listen, you'll never know God as your provider. You'll never know Him in that way. You'll never have that level of intimacy in that area, and you'll never go beyond that rung of faith till you take it. Now, some of you are beyond that, and you're saying, well, now God's taking you to the place where He did Abraham. Give me your family. And you're at the step of faith saying, I don't know that I can do that. If I say, God, my wife is yours, my kids are yours, what if you take one of them home? I'm afraid you might. Lord, listen, we have to learn to trust the Lord at whatever place or step of faith you're in. You've got to learn to trust the Lord and say, God, I'm going to take that step of faith. The bottom line is, we can't go on in our maturity until we take that step. But once we take that step, it opens up a whole new world of seeing the Lord in a way we've never seen Him before. Even as Abram today saw the Lord in a way he'd never seen Him before, face to face, in true communion, breaking the bread and drinking the wine. So what's my challenge to you today? Take a step of faith. I don't know where you are. I really don't. But wherever you are, I'm challenging you. Take a step of faith and get to know the God that is faithful to those who take a step of faith. And don't be those who are standing on the side afraid to jump into Daddy's arms when you could be those that are going to the diving board saying, Dad, watch this.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day. Pastor Mark's been going through the book of Genesis, and there's much to learn and appreciate from this first book of the Bible. Sometimes to fully grasp something later on, you need to understand where things began. From verse 1, God made it clear that He was there all along, and He set things in motion exactly as He instructed. Isn't it neat to see that all of creation is under God's authority? That includes you. This could seem a bit intimidating, but it's actually God's way of looking out for your best interests. Once you look at it that way, you start to realize that everything in all of creation is something that God initiated with intention, and that includes you. What a great thing to come to today. If you missed any part of this message or would like to hear this one again, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. Another way to access these messages is by downloading the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. By doing this, you'll be able to take these teachings with you wherever you go. Would you like to get in touch with us? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Feel free to call us with questions or to even ask for prayer. Please come back for another edition, where Pastor Mark will continue his teaching through the book of Genesis, the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.